Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome to American Statesman Blog Talk Radio. It's a place where it's all about duty, honoring the country. A place for American patriots to come together and to restore our Constitution, to be patriots, to work as one united people and one nation under God. Thank you for tuning in tonight. Today is Monday, June 2013. My name is Sally Baptiste, and again, thank you for tuning in. Tonight, we're going to be discussing toll roads, and we have a special guest, North Carolina Representative Robert Brawley. He's going to be joining us momentarily. He is opposing the tolls on I-77, and he opposes tolls in general because they are a double taxation, and he's working to try to reverse the tolls on I-77. So we're going to be he's going to be joining us here in just a couple of minutes, and we're going to get into that discussion. Before we go into that, I got a couple of things I was going to mention real quick. I saw something today, and it just I couldn't believe this. This was something an email that was shared with me. It's about toll roads. So I wanted to mention it, and I may mention it again when the representative is on with us. The U.S. and Europe have signed a joint tolling declaration. A joint tolling declaration. How crazy is this? I mean, are we not a sovereign nation anymore? We have to go ask Europe. We have to make an agreement with Europe on how we're going to put toll taxes on highways. I mean, this is just nuts. Let me see if I can find the actual article. Oh, let's see here. And I did send this out to some people. It's on the Huffington Post is where this article actually was posted, and it's called U.S. and Europe Sign Joint Tolling Declaration. And let's see if I can find the date. This was just posted in the past few days. It hasn't been out there very long. But, I mean, there's something seriously wrong when the United States is entering into a joint tolling declaration with Europe. These are our highways, not Europe. Is America truly for sale? I mean, do we have no sovereignty anymore? I saw this and it's like, you know, this is unbelievable. It's getting crazier and crazier out there. It really is. So, and I just couldn't believe that. I'm going to be curious to see what the representative is going to think about that one, too. And I see he is out there. Let me go ahead and open the mic to him. One other thing real quick. ATA has, there's an article out there, too, that the excessive regulations for trucking is putting a lot of them out of business. So that, you take all the regulations, the American Trucking Association, what the trucking industry deals with, add a whole nother toll taxes and expense to them and everything else, and it's brutal, and we'll get into that discussion too. I say tonight we are talking about toll taxes, and we have a special guest, North Carolina Representative Robert Brawley, and I am going to get his mic. Welcome, Representative. Thank you so much for taking some time to join us tonight.
Good evening.
Good evening. Can you hear me okay?
Yes, ma'am. Got you loud and clear.
Okay, good. Now, I was just getting the show started here, and I don't know if you heard me mention about the U.S. and Europe signing a joint tolling declaration. Have you ever heard of anything so crazy?
Yes. Keep in mind, I've been in politics a long time.
Okay. Well, that kind of answers that.
It is, but it does not. It is crazy. It doesn't surprise me, though. I do know that you wanted to talk about the tolling on I-77 in North Carolina, and three of the four bidders on that project apparently are from Europe anyway.
Isn't that interesting? I'm telling you, as I understand it. Yeah. Okay. Well, then on that note, I'm going to go ahead and ask you to go ahead and give us your thoughts. As I mentioned at the beginning of the show, you do oppose the tolls on I-77 and I-95. You believe tolls are a redundant double taxation, which is what they are, and they're just not the best way to go.
Could I go back to your original question about the foreigners? told
sure.
nationally? Because it, I've been doing research on this, and it seems that everybody from the president on down is buying into tolls. There's an organization we participate in called the National Conference of State Legislators. Even state legislators, they just held a national conference on the public-private partnership for transportation. And according to them, there's $2.2 trillion needed over the next 5 years for infrastructure to bring us up to date. Now, part of my challenge with toll roads is the reason, as I read on through the report, the reason they're going towards toll roads is because it gives the political arena a chance to take credit for paving and pass the debt on to the next generations.
And that is absolutely disgusting.
I think it is. To me, it's a terrible way to do things. I have worked all my life, hopefully to leave my children and grandchildren something positive, not a debt. But toll roads do that. The one on I-77 is a 50-year contract.
It's so outrageous. Sorry, go ahead.
It is. Now, if I might, my opposition to toll roads does come from the fact that everything I've seen says it is double taxation, and toll roads are generally for the better financially established people. In Miami, they call toll roads privilege lanes.
Lexus Lanes is another popular
name. Lexus Lanes was the first name I heard for it. And I figured up the little proposal that they have on I-77, they're calling it a little proposal. I'm in Iredell County, and it's about 30 miles to Charlotte. If they ride on that road, if my people go to work in Charlotte, or if the people in Charlotte come to work in Iredell County, and by the way, it's at one time it was as many coming to Iredell as it was going into Charlotte because we wound up being a growing community. But the people going to work on that road, if they use a toll lane, and some people say it's a choice because we're going to have toll lanes and not toll lanes, but if they use the toll lane and it's $2.50 each way, that's $5 a day, $25 a week, $100 a month. I don't know very many people that work for a living that can afford another $100 a month just to pay for transportation when they've already paid in North Carolina the highest gas tax, but one of the highest gas taxes in the United States anyway, and now they've got to pay another $100 just to get to and from work while their gas tax money goes to pay all the other roads in North Carolina to ride toll-free. It really bothers me that we've let ourselves get into that. I have to grit my teeth here, Sam.
it really is a highway scam. It's the most expensive way to raise money anyway. And, you know, they talk about these Lexus lanes, and that is going to be a major nuisance if you are driving, because they tend to be in the middle of the highway, and then you're going to be going back and forth trying to cross the lanes anyway. And because I've seen what they did in Atlanta with I-85, and in Atlanta they're calling it stolen lanes because, you know, every taxpayer pays for those lanes, but only the elite get to use them. And it doesn't help. I mean, they call it desperation. Usually there's congestion pricing on them, where during rush hour they can increase the price, and then during the slower times when they don't need the lane, they'll charge either let it be free or charge something less. And the whole thing, it's obvious that their goal is not to improve transportation. Their goal is to give money to their friends at the expense of the people. And that's what, you know, that's what the people have to come together and say, enough is enough. We're tired of being ripped off by greedy, self-serving politicians and their friends. And, I mean, that's, you know, you and I had a discussion about this. Yeah.
To me, the greed starts right up front. They're taking credit for paving roads that they don't pay for. That's greed up front. And then the contract itself, it virtually guarantees the toller or the manager that they won't lose money. The taxpayer picks up the tab if it goes broke. The bonding companies will not issue bonds for toll lanes for a toll contractor, unless it's backed by the local governing authority. So the taxpayer is going to be on the hook both ways, and when they do it like that, when they do it through toll lanes, through contracting, they not only are committed to a long-term contract, if they pay out of that contract, there's generally penalties, and, well, if they pay out of it, there's already problems that they've gotten into, unless our economy starts booming to such a point we can get ahead of everything, but I don't see that happening when you're constantly expanding the size of government. But at any rate, if they do pay out of it, they've got penalties, they've got interest, they've got a rate of return for the managers, and they've got the administration, the toll collectors. In the I-77 case, the manager of the toll lanes will also be responsible for maintenance, which in some states, some cases in research and tolls across the United States, they say that they use the surplus money to maintain the highways. But that surplus money goes back to maintain the toll road itself.
Now, and I can tell you, here in Florida, we have so many toll roads. And this is why I really hope North Carolinians will wake up. And I mean, I already know a lot of them don't want the tolls. The public doesn't want them. This is a game going on by those in public office. But they've really got to get behind you and some of the others who are opposing them and rally and stop them. Because I'm telling you, right here in Hillsborough County, here there's a tolling authority. They pay these board members outrageous salaries to go to a meeting once or twice a month. And then, in the case of Hillsborough County, the state of Florida, the taxpayers of Florida, had to go in and spend over $800,000 repairing the road and bailing out the expressway authority. It's a scam in so many ways. It's just the wrong thing to do.
The taxpayers on the hook for bailing it out. And again, if I might go back to the Lexus lanes, I did have an owner, I don't believe it was a Lexus, it was one of the higher-priced cars, telling me that my illustration about $100 a month going to and from Charlotte was not going to be that big a factor. So I started doing some checking. There is a toll lane in North Carolina right outside of Raleigh. If we use the same rate on the I-77 corridor as is used on this, it's a 14-mile toll road here in Raleigh. If we use the same rate on I-77 that they're using here, that will be $200 a month instead of $100 a month. At $200 a month, I even got that car owner's attention that, hey, you're starting to meddle in my business now, buddy, because I don't want to have to pay $200 a month to go to and from Charlotte. So it just keeps compounding and growing.
Well, and it's not even just that. It's everybody that uses that toll road. The cost of living goes up for everybody when you increase the expense. This crazy notion that it's a user fee. We already pay a user fee at the pump. You know, a gas tax is a user fee. And it's the most economical because the overall collection, the cost of collecting a gas tax at the pump is less than 1%. The cost of toll collection systems and the liability that the taxpayers have and everything is more like 20%. They do not do it for the people. It's reckless disregard for the welfare of the people, and it's nothing but a scam against the people. You mentioned the public-private partnerships, and I really I'd like to take a few minutes to talk about that because what I have learned over the past few years about public-private partnerships. First off, it's a massive collusion of the government and the private sector. It is never a good thing to be putting literally the government is going in business with a private entity for profit. In Florida, the state constitution technically blocks it, but nobody really pays attention to the constitution of Florida no more than they do the constitution up in Washington, D.C. these days. So what are your thoughts, your background, and what information do you have on these public-private partnerships?
Well, there. This paper I was talking about with the National Conference of State Legislators, it is 37 pages long, talking about public-private partnerships. And I will read you a proponent. This guy is a proponent of public-private partnerships. He says, I was going to use his exact words. I flipped my page. But anyway, he says that while, and I agree with this, public-private partnerships, at times there is a place for them, but you need to study you need to study and make sure it works in the situation you're in. A public-private partnership, it started out with transportation, but now they're looking at water systems, sewage systems, garbage collection, all kinds of things, even fire stations, all kinds of things to get into public-private partnerships with. And I just think that's socialism, and we don't need to go in that direction.
And that's what it truly is. It's the massive collusion of government and the private sector, and the government is the takeover of, we go back to the most basic fundamentals of what is the role of government. We can't get government to do what it's supposed to, like secure the borders and those kind of things, or the infrastructure. Yet they want to be in all these other things, and then there's this massive collusion of these two things. I totally agree. It is the road to socialism, and we need to shut them down. There's absolutely nothing wrong with the local, state government, whatever it is, having open bids. I believe in open bids, not all this backroom stuff they do, for the private sector to come in and build the road and those kind of things, but not for the private sector to own and control the road. It's absolutely anti-American.
Okay. Yeah, I've found many sectors are using public-private partnerships: traffic, administration, education, utilities, health, senior living, security, corrections, prison systems, disposals, garbage collections, leisure, cultural, and other activities such as fire stations, exhibit centers, and water facilities. States use these to finance projects they don't have the money for.
And why don't they have the money? I mean, that is truly the ultimate question, and you can give us the best answer, because I know what I think is the problem with money.
Well, in North Carolina, we do have one of the highest gas taxes that exist. That gas tax was set up. I've been in this business now over 30 years, and I happen to have been around when the gas tax was raised from 10 cents a gallon to where it is now, with a promise that if we would vote for that, there would be a trust fund set up and the gas tax would always be used for transportation. The following year, the powers that be that had told us it would always be used for transportation took $280 million and put it into the general fund and started spending it for other things. There would be something like approaching $2 billion available for roads in North Carolina if we had not done that. The government continued.
Yeah, go ahead.
The government, unfortunately, politicians do use taxpayer dollars to buy votes.
We have got to stop that. I mean, you know, it's so disgusting. As you and I had spoke, we spoke quite a bit about this toll road issue and what it truly means. And I've been fighting the tolls for some time, and I see it as what's happening to our highway system is reflective of what's happening to us across our country as a whole, and how we are being screwed over left and right by the public process. They're not working for us. They're working for everybody else. They're buying their votes. They're corrupting our elections. And, you know, they don't – the role of government has been totally distorted as to what it's supposed to be. And what is it going to take for us to get those in office to listen? You'll never know how much I appreciate the fact that you're listening and you're actually willing to talk about it. And apparently you're one of the House Speaker, I'm not sure who it was, who was out there when he was campaigning telling ATA that he was not going to promote tolls, and then as soon as he got in office, he flip-flopped on it and started promoting them or something to that effect, or changed his position on it. Maybe I'm misstating that.
It depends on who you're talking to.
Yeah, and I mean, do public, and you know, people know that I'm very frustrated with most of those in public office, and that's why I have a show called American Statesman. I figured we've only got about 5% who truly are out there representing the rest, and the other 95% are out there worrying about their next election. Are you familiar? Yeah, go ahead.
Sally, I'm going to argue with you on that point. I think there are 90 to 95% what I would consider statesmen in public office, but the 5% that are not wield such power and fear over a statesman, because generally those who picture themselves as statesmen, out of respect, keep their mouth shut, or either out of respect or out of fear, they keep their mouth shut and don't speak up when they should have. And I think we've got a responsibility to represent the people who elected us, and we should stand up and speak out regardless of what the issue is and who it is that opposes it. And yes, I did get in trouble in the North Carolina State House because I stood up for issues. Now, the way they're attacking me is saying that I made it personal attacks. But if they'll go back, all of my comments are based on the issues that we disagree on. The toll roads seem to be the one that precipitated everything taking place. But could I talk about the issue on I-77 in North Carolina?
Please, go right ahead.
The way that is set up, there's a stretch of road that is, well, from the Iredell County line going towards Charlotte. It's about 14 miles. It's two lanes wide. At the end of those two lanes, there is an HOV lane and then three general purpose lanes. So, man, when you get to the end of that 14 miles, you can zip on into Charlotte. Now, in 2009, there was a study done requested by the local transportation planning group. And as a result of that study, the consultants that did the study came back and said you could put one extra lane in that 14-mile stretch. You're going to put it in the median and put it in that 14-mile stretch, one extra lane going each way, increasing capacity by 50% for approximately $67 million. Now, to check on that, and I've been saying for less than $100 million, we could have three lanes, and once you get to where it's three lanes wide with the HOV lane anyway, the traffic moves smoothly. I asked a contractor, a road construction contractor, last week if he could put in 14 miles of road for $67 million. He said, generally. I said, now keep in mind, it's going to be an inner lane where there's already existing outer lanes. He said, oh, that'd be easy because we don't have to do the right-of-way acquisitions, and that would be a great price to get paid for putting in 14 miles. So that's a result of what they, I think, could be there. And yet what we have is, and I'm reading from a letter from the Department of Transportation that's addressed to me, and what they're going to do is put in HOV lanes 27 miles. They're going to take in that 14 plus another 13 miles, and that last 13 miles, and by the way, the first 14 is putting in those general, what I would have say could be general purpose lanes, but they're going to make them hot lanes, toll roads. They're calling them hot lanes because that's how the speaker gets around not having changed his position. He supports hot lanes, but he's opposed to toll roads.
Yeah.
Okay. That 14 miles is going to be hot lanes, toll roads, and then they're putting another 13 miles of hot lanes where they put another center lane in that section, another center lane going each way. But they're going to take the existing HOV lane, and it will also now become a hot lane. So they're taking up some of the existing capacity
right
on a 13-mile stretch, and they're putting in hot lanes 27 miles long when a 14-mile stretch would solve the problem. And if you put that 50% increase in capacity against the projected growth in this area, that will solve the problem traffic flow on that road for the next 25 years. Now, the thing that they come back and say is, we don't have the money. So, how do I respond to that? Well, the consultants, I've already talked about the $67 million. I'll just use $100 million as putting in the general purpose lanes and increasing capacity by 50%. We don't have the $100 million. Okay, then help me understand. If we do the toll lane project for the 27 miles, currently the projected investment, total investment, will be $550 million. Now, part of that comes about with those extra lanes in. They've got to do rework eight bridges, I believe. It's either eight or nine bridges. But the $500 to $550 million, of which, and by the way, most toll lanes require the government entity to put up at least 30%. Of that $500 million, the state of North Carolina would be putting up approximately $170 million. And
now, what part of crazy? I mean, that is so, it's black and white. It's amazing. I'm sorry, go ahead.
that the state would put up $170 million. Now, they get upset when I say $170 million the state is putting up on a $500 plus million project, and you don't have the money to do a $100 million project? Help me understand. Well, Robert, you don't understand where the $170 million is coming from. Well, the contract says it's coming from the state of North Carolina.
Coming from the taxpayers who won't be allowed to use it.
Well, I do have to, in fairness to them, one of the places they're getting part of that $170 million, and this is what I do not know, part of that $170 million is actually the toll operator is being given those existing HOV lanes, so that's accepted as part of that $170 million payment.
Oh, my goodness. I'm telling you. If it's not a scam against the people, if it's not highway robbery, what do you call it?
And in exchange for that, that toll operator gets to operate that road and gets to set the tolls on that road for the next 50 years.
And that is so wrong. I'm telling you, it is so wrong. It's so against the people. I don't even know how to properly describe the outrage of these people elected and who take a sworn oath to serve and protect the constituents of their state, their communities, the federal, the citizens of the country.
Republicans hate to talk about taxes, right?
Right.
Or at least we claim we do.
well, exactly. And I mean, I'll be honest with you. Tea parties, which not all tea parties are Republicans. I call myself a true tea partier because I happen to believe we are taxed enough already, and I happen to believe in smaller governments, the basics. I don't care what party you're in. But I have spoken to tea partiers who actually said they were for the tolls, and I said, don't you understand a toll is a double taxation on what you're already paying? You're just empowering them to waste more money and give it to somebody else.
Well, let me pose this question. If we're going to be building roads in North Carolina, if we increase the license plate registration fee by $100, that generates $900 million a year right now. $900 million that would come in next year if we increase that tag by $100. And, right up the bat, we're through paying for I-77 being, actually with $900 million, we could put all of our lanes in anyway.
Yeah, you could do other work on I-95 too.
if we wanted to use it all for, if we wanted to use 500 million of it on I-77, we'd be through with the funding on it, and you wouldn't have to wait 50 years. It'd be paid for.
No, yeah. Exactly.
And I feel like the people of North Carolina would rather pay $100 for a license plate than they would pay $100 a month for a toll road.
And what part of that? What part of that math do Republicans not understand?
They don't want a tax increase. That's what I keep getting told.
Put a toll as a tax. Put a toll as a tax.
No, it's a hot lane.
It's a regressive. It's an extreme, and it's a regressive tax.
It's a hot lane.
High occupancy toll lane. It's still a toll. A toll by any name. I believe there's another representative. I think his name is Graham, who was saying a toll is still a toll or something. I have seen some other North Carolina representatives who are opposing this. So do you guys kind of have a plan of how you might attack this and get this thing reversed?
No, unfortunately, we do not.
Well, we've got to figure some way, yeah.
I was looking here. I am reading, and I figured you would be interested in this. I am reading from Webster's. The definition of TOLL, a tax or fee paid for some liberty or privilege, as passing over a highway or bridge.
A tax by any other name, it's still a tax, people.
A tax or fee paid for some liberty or privilege, as passing over a bridge or highway. Interesting.
It is, and it's so obvious. I mean, here in Florida, there's so many different ways you could, when they say they don't have the money. Well, first off, my own personal belief is they do have the money, except they're reckless. And just as you said, the exact same thing happened here in Florida with the Highway Trust Fund. It's like, wait a minute, the gas taxes I'm paying into the Highway Trust Fund for the highways, you're putting it into the general fund and spending it someplace else, and then you tell me you don't have money for roads. To me, that's fraud. I mean, isn't that the definition of fraud? Just saying one thing for the transaction and doing another? I mean, if somebody did that in the public, it would definitely be fraud.
Well, I've had a phone call, and there is a gentleman who says he's called me and says he has the money, and he will be suing the state of North Carolina for violating the Constitution for fraud on the toll roads. Yes.
Well, if there's anything I can do to help him, please give him my name, because we've got to put an end to this kind of craziness. This is happening to us. What's happening with the toll road, as I say, is very symbolic of what's happening to us across this whole country, with them gnawing away at us, using our money for parties and other stupid things that we don't need, and yet they fail to do the most basic jobs of what government is supposed to do. And I compare, in the case of Florida, I compare the toll roads to the lottery. When they came up with a state lottery, what did they all say? It's going to supplement education. It's going to be it's a voluntary tax that will be used to help supplement education. And what do? They end up taking, it replaces education. It doesn't supplement it. They take the money and they put it to their friends again. I'm so sick of public servants who take my money and spend it on their friends. Reckless, absolutely reckless with our money, and it's totally a violation of the oath of office.
I agree with you. I was looking, and I apologize not paying total attention. I've got a list of the there's a federal book out promoting everyone getting into the toll road business. It's a federal highway transportation book.
Okay.
I don't, it's, should have organized everything, Sally.
That's okay. I will take a look out there for it. It surprised me. This government is so out of control. It's not because they don't have the money. It's they're reckless and they don't care about the people. They would get back to what they're supposed to do. They have more than enough money. But going back again to, in the case of transportation, there's nothing that gets me more. I'm going to be going to a open house for an expressway, a toll road tomorrow kind of thing, because I'm obviously going to let them know I don't like the tolls. But what gets me is they act like, well, we've had so much more traffic than we expected. You know, the growth in Orlando and the Central Florida area, we've had more growth than we need. But the fact is, you know, when you had more traffic, you also have more gas taxes and gas revenues and registration revenues. All those revenues increased. They make it sound like the roads got wore out with no extra revenues, and that's just a lie. It's an out and out lie that the revenues did come up. But I've gone through it, and you could go out there with the way the registration fees are in Florida. Based on if it's a larger SUV or it's a compact car, motorcycle, whatever, you could easily increase that registration fee at one time, maybe $10 a year, enormous amounts of money. With all the car rentals we have here in Florida, you would have enormous amount of money for almost no cost. I mean, over the cost of traveling a year, it would be almost nothing to the average person.
What's the population of Florida?
Oh, you know, that's a good question. I'd have to go out there and double check it. I don't, to be honest, I really don't remember. I'd have to go look. But, I mean, we have so many tourists in here, too. So.
Well, the reason I asked, in North Carolina, the population of North Carolina is approximately 9 million people, and there's 9 million cars registered.
Yeah, so And actually, we have a caller who wants to get into this conversation, and I happen to know this person is a truck driver. This is Nathan. Hey, Nathan, how you doing?
How you doing? How you doing, Congressman?
I'm just a representative in the state.
Okay.
I appreciate it.
Listen. One thing you guys have missed in this, a truck, when it pulls up to buy anywhere from $5 to $1,000 worth of fuel, he pays taxes that's supposed to be going to fix the roads. And then he has to, his company has to keep a calculation of every mile that truck drives in whatever state it's in. If it's driving across the country, when it hits a state line, they got to write down their mileage until they leave the state line, and because that state is going to charge them for every mile they drove in there.
I had forgotten about that.
Yeah, so, you know, this stuff never ends, and this is what I hear. I hear we got to build this road, so we got to raise the tax to build this road, and then when the road needs repaired, we can't repair it because we need more money, so they raise the tax, and now we got to widen the road, and we need more money. Well, whatever happened to the first tax, they never stopped taking.
Yeah, well, that I can give you a little bit of an idea on. In every government that I've seen, here in North Carolina in particular, when they did have surplus money, they found a way to spend it on some additional government program rather than holding it till time for maintenance and repair. And I disagree with it. I don't think the government needs to be doing everything for us citizens that they're doing now. It's very expensive on people who work for a living when that happens.
Well, you know, if you catch the pastor stealing money or molesting children, we don't say the office of the pastors. We got to respect the office of pastor or priest and not do nothing. We get him out and handcuffed and taken off to jail. Why is it that the politician says, for instance, the president, office of the president, we don't want to bring shame to it. Well, if he's doing something wrong, let's get him out. Why does that reverence seem to be for the politicians?
Unfortunately, I don't know that it's the reverence that's there as much as it is. Too many times, the people who've received goodies because of the government handouts are voting. You know, in this last election, it was all about, it seemed to be all about handouts.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you know, I'm going to tell you, when you guys start trying to fix this thing, the guy you were talking about that is going to try to prove this thing isn't constitutional,
yes,
remind him of Daddy Bush made an executive order 12803, and that is on what authority all this infrastructure is being sold to private companies, but more importantly, these private companies are tending to be foreign companies, which means foreign countries, because these communist countries don't have free enterprise.
The here in North Carolina, the bidders on this proposed toll project that I'm most familiar with, three of the four, there's four bidders, three of them are foreign countries, foreign organizations.
You know, I believe in the reverence for the president, but I also believe that George Bush should have been impeached for that. He made an oath to the U.S. Constitution, and he has no right to make any agreements with other countries like that to sell off our infrastructure. That's what China's doing right now. All these jobs that are coming back from China, they're coming back not as American companies. They're coming back as China, you know? This is my opinion, sir. NAFTA gave our economy and our sovereignty to our enemies. And next time you see that guy standing on the street corner with a sign that won't work, okay, he's standing with a sign saying hungry will work for food, that is a Republican policy, because if you remember back in the late 70s and 80s, we had missionaries coming from India telling us about how their religion had put them in poverty, and they beg, and they get out on a street corner, especially around foreigners, and they beg, and they'll even cut their arm off or do something to cripple themselves because it increases their ability to beg. And now whenever you have a problem with how your computer works or any appliance, you dial the 1-800 number, and these people in India answers it and walks you through the instructions. That right there is NAFTA. It gave them our economy and gave us their poverty. That's my opinion, and I approve of it.
Okay.
There's no two ways about it. There's many of America's been for sale, and I mean, this is what we have seen. And you go down to Texas, most of their toll roads are owned by Centra, which is a foreign entity. I mean, America, it just seems, and I mean, going along with what Nathan's saying here, isn't it a violation of the basic oath of office to go out there and sell off our country to a foreign entity, to give public assets? These are public assets that the taxpayers pay for.
The federal constitution prohibits, I forget the exact wording, but it's something about it's doing something for a foreign country that hurts America. Yes.
I think you're talking about Article 6, where nothing outranks the Constitution, and every judge in the country has to. I can't remember the exact quoting, but it's basically, you know, no foreign treaty can outrank the Constitution.
Right.
You know, and you can't. And you know, so if we're going to live, what we got to do is these people have made an oath, and they haven't kept it. And I hope any of my opinions, I know I'm all over the place here, but I hope if anything I say you agree with, you will pass it on to those who can use it. But America's pretty much flushed down the toilet if we don't do something, and I don't think the average politician is standing up to do anything to take it back.
This kind of goes back to what we were saying earlier, where I say there's only 5% of the statesmen, and I truly believe that most people, when they first go into public office, most go in there with the best of intentions. But it doesn't take long for those who have been in there for way too long, who have gerrymandered or have a, have gerrymandering the system as far as the votes itself, but have a stranglehold and entangled in so much of the public money, you know, with these special interests.
I think the reason this happens is, one, we're not listening to the Constitution, and I don't want to offend you, sir, but I was a Republican from 1978 up to 2004, and I said never, ever again, because I saw something in the Constitution. There is no teams in the Constitution. It's only members. And, you know, it's hard to get two-thirds because of the parties are two teams, and it's hard to get a majority unless you're making a deal like you want to get, like when they wanted to push Obamacare through. And in order to get the votes, they have to do what they called with Mary Landau in Louisiana. They call it Louisiana Purchase, where they gave her some goodies, and she goes, okay, I'll vote with you. You know, that you'll never, ever be able, it's a room full of individuals, members, standing on their own conscience. And you can never, ever, when you go in, there is no teams in the Constitution. Every man is there on his own conscience, you know?
And that's what it should be. Go ahead, Representative. Representative Ear. Whoops, looks like something happened.
Uh-oh.
Well, let's hope.
I hope I didn't run him off.
I hope he calls back in. I'm hoping because it sounded like he was getting ready to say something. So I'm hoping
he opened his mouth to say something. You know, you know, I wish I could be more sweet, but you know, this stuff is
okay. He's back. Hold on.
Okay.
Okay. Let's get the representative back on the line here. Okay, you're back on the line. Please go ahead.
I can hear you. I don't know what happened.
I don't know. Every now and again, a line just gets dropped. But you're back out there now. So please go ahead and respond to what Nathan was saying and any other thoughts on the Republican Party.
Okay. I lost him. He said he had been a Republican.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
I said I had been a Republican from 1978 to 2004, and I switched to independent. And after the 2004 election, I've never voted for another Republican. I voted for citizen candidates, and I know they had no chance of winning. But you know, I've just seen the two teams in the room rather than a group full of people thinking for themselves as individuals. Ronald Reagan said something. He said two things I disagree with, and I think if he was here and could hear me, he might think about it and agree with me. One, he said, and this is a big mistake, he said his 11th commandment, thou shalt not speak bad of another Republican. That's neither biblical nor is it constitutional, and sometimes we need to rebuke our own. And the other thing that he said is if he's working with someone that he can agree with 80% of the time, then he can work with them. The problem is that 20% that we allow each other is enough to manage the issues to never, ever get anything done, and that's what they've done in Washington, I'm talking about. You got every issue that comes up, the Republicans yell, that's a states' rights issue, but they've never put it back to the states or challenged it. And then one of the biggest ones is the issue of abortion. And I don't want to get too far off the tow roads tonight, but the abortion issue, they've managed that because on that 20-80% thing, because all the people that are truly pro-life go into the Congress where your vote is just an opinion. But if you're really and truly at the bottom of your heart a conviction of pro-life, you are not going into the Senate because that's where your vote becomes law, and that is why in the last election they attacked Aiken from Missouri and Murdoch from New Mexico. They have managed these issues while at the same time continuing to promise every election. We have here in Florida our House and Senate.
Promise what?
Huh?
Promise what every election?
They promise the same issues every, what, security, securing the border, every issue you think about. We're going to push back Roe v. Wade, or we're going to push back on law, voting for it. You name one issue they've ran on that they have cap. It's the same issues. We need to states' rights issues, education, Roe v. Wade, affirmative action, all these things that they promise they want to. And in debates on TV, they'll say, well, that there's a states' rights issue. Well, what have you done from this day all the way back to the Great Depression to take anything back to the states? I'm a low-tech redneck, but I've been on the computer looking around, and I can't find one issue, you know?
And
I'm going to hang up on this, because this is kind of a transportation issue. We got here in Florida, our Congress and our Senate voted in large numbers to repeal ethanol in the state of Florida. I called the governor's office and told him, you need to sign it. Told his aide, tell him, you need to sign it because the people want to get rid of it. The politicians have heard them. And if you use this for a campaign issue, I will do everything I can to campaign against you on a lack of integrity because you got to do your job. It's sitting on your desk. Sign it or either don't sign it, but they'll hold out because it's an election issue. The same way we've ran on securing the border every election, both parties, and yet it's the same thing. We got Mel Martinez went up there, and then he got reincarnated in Marco Rubio. And I'm just saying, both sides, both parties. I'm tired of being lied to.
Yep.
And I'm gonna hang up but thank you for your efforts on this transportation issue, sir.
Thank you kindly.
Yes, sir.
Sally, you asked me what my response would be. That the federal government, if I were campaigning for federal office, there are issues he discussed that I would address differently from what the Republican National Committee is addressing. I do think we as Republicans are missing the point, and I'll talk about my own local campaign if we want to talk about campaigns a minute. My opponent was the chairman of the Republican Party in this election. And after I won the election, I was asked how I beat the anointed one. I beat him 2-1. And I think the real difference was I work very hard. My campaign slogan, first off, is Together We Can. Because I think if we work together, we can find solutions. We can work out something that will work. And the only problem you run into with that approach is if you get run up against somebody who thinks their answer is the only answer. And I don't know about you, but what I've seen in this old world, there's no only answers. The toll roads are not the only answer to solving our highway issues. Automobile tag taxes are not the only answer. It takes some work and planning and working out a solution to come up with what's needed. But we have to do something to address our transportation problem. But I just think we do. Go ahead.
I was going to say, I went out here, I went and double-checked. Just so you know, Florida, we have 19 million people in Florida. And you can be sure we have a lot more than that on vehicles because many people have more than one vehicle, plus we have all the rental cars. So you can tack on a couple of bucks and look at all the money you could raise on that small
car. $100 for a tag registration doesn't sound like much. In Florida's case, that's $1.9 billion, right?
Exactly. That's exactly it. And
it solves a lot of transportation problems.
It totally does. And, you know, the thing that irks me here, right here in Central Florida, with the exception of I-4, every expressway is a toll road. Okay, I don't use them. I refuse to use them. I'm tired of being ripped off by this government because they waste my money. And with the toll lane that they want to put on I-4, first off, it's a public-private partnership. But right now, they're having it technically is against the Constitution. It is against the state constitution for Florida to be in business with any private sector company. That is the fact, if they will actually recognize the Constitution. And the other thing is, this is all to fund I nickname it scammer. It's called Sunrail. It's money that we're given to CSX for tracks. It's money that we're now liable for accidents on these tracks. This is all money coming out of the Highway Trust Fund, so now they've got to go and bump up all the tolls. I mean, it's massive fraud, and it's just so outrageous. It's not It's these people are not representing and working on behalf of the people. They really aren't. And here in Florida, which I'm sure it's true in North Carolina too, I think I told you I did some work up in Rocky Mount, so I've spent some time up in North Carolina. I think it's a beautiful area. I love it up there. They, you know, we have a tourist tax. How come they can take a tourist tax and use it to build a stadium for the Orlando Magic, but you couldn't take 5 or 10% of the tourist tax and put it back into transportation when transportation is so relevant to tourism? It's part of the same thing. You improve tourism by improving transportation. But they won't do that. What part of this am I missing? Am I the one who's so clueless here, or are these people just self-serving and don't care about the people?
And you build a stadium, it costs money to go to the ball game at the stadium, and now that you put in toll roads, it costs even more money to get to the stadium to enjoy the ball game.
And so then you got to pay to park.
why does that not cross the mind of the people who do that type of planning and that type of logic? There are solutions out there other than just a toll tax.
Well, and I guess, again, I'll kind of go back to, now, I had seen one thing where you thought you were gaining some momentum with others who wanted to reverse the I-77. There's got to be a way to get the public engaged. And I guess that's the other thing, because I feel like this is taxation without representation, in a sense, where why can't these types of things be put on a public referendum and let the people to make the choice on some of these things? Would you rather have a 2-cent tax increase at the pump, which, again, I have no idea, since I don't really know the revenues in North Carolina, but if you were to increase the gas tax by 2 cents, okay, which a toll is a tax, and I challenge people all the time, take what you're paying in that gas tax, take the gas tax you use in the car you drive, how many miles do you get for that gas tax? And then compare how much you pay per mile on a toll road, and the math is simple. The math is so easy. It's really not rocket science if they'd be honest with the people and tell them what's going on and not waste money on silly things.
If I'm not mistaken, within a 75-mile radius around Charlotte, there are 5 million people. So a $100 fee on their license their tag registration would be the $500 million to do everything they're planning on doing through the toll road anyway. And they don't have to take 50 years to pay it back.
And, you know, I can tell you what some people will say, especially when it comes to people who say they don't use the expressways. Some will go back to this crazy mentality of a toll being a user fee. But it's like that is crazy, because the infrastructure supports everyone, whether you drive or not. It truthfully, even if, you know, you drive, by opening up that expressway, you're going to move traffic so much better. You will be improving your own situation, regardless if you said you weren't going to drive on the toll road or whatever kind of thing, because it improves everybody's quality of life. And infrastructure is part of your emergency evacuation system and law enforcement and military. There's all these other pieces that are there. You should not be selling out public infrastructure. That is part of those key things like that too. So, and I guess that would be the question. Would you be able to move or maybe work with some of these other groups out there to get something on the referendum, get a referendum on the state ballot, on a general ballot? Don't let them play games with what ballot they put it on, because that's what they do here in Florida. And say, would you rather pay this much or would you rather pay this much?
Well, the Constitution of North Carolina says that one session of the General Assembly cannot bind the next session of the General Assembly, cannot bind future, future sessions of the General Assembly. What that means is, when we come back into session, when the next General Assembly comes back into session, they can change anything this session has done to includes. And this is something I'll have to check on, because you don't want to get into a legal penalty that's going to be really costly. But that could include stopping the toll roads at some phase in the future. Which would be more expensive.
Go ahead.
Which would be add to the cost of it. When I'm talking about the cost of it. Well, first off, your question. Yes, there are people that are working. The support for stopping the toll roads is growing. I do think the trucking people will start to get involved in it. Excuse me. I thought Nathan was going to bring this up. If we build toll roads, then the cost of that truck going across a toll road is included in the product we buy.
Exactly. Everybody's cost of living goes up.
Everybody's cost of living goes up because we ship so much in toll roads. And here we are in North Carolina trying to talk about growing our economy. And we have, at one time, we were the largest trucking. We had more trucking companies headquartered in North Carolina than any other state. We don't have that now. And I've talked to a very large, in fact, it's a national distribution, a company that does business nationally, and they asked me not to use their name. They do business nationally. They're located here in North Carolina. And they said if we tow I-77 and 95, they will change their distribution system.
Yeah,
because
and
it will increase the
this.
It will increase the cost of their trucking.
Exactly, and it's like so. Again, why would Republicans promote this? So the you know, and why would and I'll go across both sides. Republicans who claim to be anti-tax, and yet Democrats who are supposed to be fighting for the middle class, who are the ones if tolls are the most regressive tax. It hurts the lower and middle class income people more than anybody else. I've tried to tell people this. I said, you know, Donald Trump doesn't care about spending a couple hundred bucks a month in toll taxes. And, you know, Bloomberg doesn't care. These people don't care. It's the working class that are going to care, and it's the local economy, because you literally are taking $100 to $200 a month out of their disposable household income so they can't go to the movies or go out to eat.
The toll road, again, I'll go back. The toll road allows a politician to take credit for paving, putting down asphalt that they don't have to pay for. And there are people in both parties that will do that in a heartbeat. I'm sorry. I love my fellow man. I trust everybody completely. I just let them do their own thing, and I debate the issues. But the issue with toll roads, the only reason to support toll roads is it allows me to take credit for something I don't have to pay for. I pass the debt on to future generations. I mentioned the federal Department of Transportation has a book out on toll roads, and if you go through that book, it tells how to promote toll roads and get everything passed for toll roads. And one of the things to do is to find a politician to champion your cause and support him.
Well, and are you familiar with the expression, what's the difference between a statesman and a politician?
As I said, I've been doing this 30 years. I've been called a little bit of everything.
Well, there was a guy by the name of James Freeman Clark. He, and this is kind of how I came up with doing this American Statesman blog talk radio. A politician works for the next election. A statesman works for the next generation. When they're all running for office, they're all out there statesmen acting like they care about the next generation, but yet they keep thinking the next generation over and over again.
Well, here in North Carolina, the people that seem to be most favorable towards toll roads, if you talk to them, even privately, what they talk about is being prepared for the next election. And again, I think that goes back to they get to take credit for widening a road that they don't have to pay for.
And, you know, the other part that I think is amazing. And I mean, I've proven this locally when you would have a candidate who would go out there and start championing to stop the tolls. They gathered so much support from the individuals. Now, whether that how that translates into monetary contributions at either their party level or at the special interest level stuff, I don't know about that part. But the people are adamantly opposed to this kind of reckless taxation. It's a double, quadruple taxation because you already pay so many different taxes. So the people would be behind somebody promoting this, but if they're more, you know, if these people in public office, if their focus is to represent their special interest and to, well, you know what, the average person, then that's it. And that's where we've got such a corrupt election anymore. I don't believe we get the representation of our choice because it's the special interest who seem to buy the elections.
I do think my election is an example of what you're talking about. I spent a little over $12,000 in a campaign. My opponent spent over $48,000 in the campaign. And I addressed the issues that the people said they were interested in. And the only way I can do that is to go out and talk to the people themselves. The social media is nice. It keeps your name out there. But actually getting face-to-face, saying, "Hello, Sally, my name's Robert Brawley. I'm running for the North Carolina House. What do you think politicians should be talking about?"
Wow, that's that. For somebody, I would love for someone to come up to me and ask me that question, because most of the time they tell me, "Well, here's what I'm going to do, and if you don't like it, don't watch." Or, you know, they always make it sound kind of going back to what David was saying. They all talk about education and transportation, and then they go do something else.
Everybody I've met likes that approach. Now, I have to tell you, I get swamped with suggestions. But at least I know what the people are thinking about, and I know what's on their minds.
And you tell me, out of all the people, the individuals, when you talk to the individuals outside of the General Assembly there, what do the majority of them say about the toll booths?
Hang in there. We're behind
Hang
you.
Hang in there.
There are people that I got started in this session, and I've been in politics a long time. I got started in this session, and we're dealing with a lot of controversial issues with Republicans being in charge and making a big change from the way things have always done in North Carolina. And people in general do not like to be involved in conflict. So when I come down to session and go home, a lot of people, even friends of mine, they see and they say hi, but that's and they go on because they don't want to get into discussion about what we're doing that might be in conflict. But once I came out against these toll roads, I was surprised that the people would walk up, shake my hand, and smile, and say, "Glad to see you, Robert. Hang in there, Robert. Way to go, Robert." Now, they didn't discuss the issues, but I knew what they were talking about. They do not want toll roads.
They don't want toll roads, and there's got to be a way to get that majority to get engaged enough to shut this thing down. There's got because the will if it's people forget, you know, as a citizen, and this is I've been guilty of it in the past, but it's been a while since I have been silent, if you will. But being a citizen in a free society is not a spectator sport. You know, for every hour you spend watching some type of pro sports game or whatever else, you need to spend an hour making sure you're involved in your local community and in your state and knowing what's going on. Because you cannot just go and give a blank check to these people in public office. It's up to us. It is our country, it's our state, and people need to remember that they, you know, we're not supposed to be the peasants or the serfs.
The one of the things that it's a saying that everybody needs to keep in mind: government goes to the people who show up.
You know, that is perfect. I like that. I've never heard that before, but that is it.
Government goes to the people who show up. And if you stay in your little corner of the world and don't ever say anything, just keep in mind you're getting what you talked about. if you want to change things, you've got to get out and let people know how you feel.
And, you know, again, when it comes to this toll road issue, it's the lower and middle class people who are sacrificed. It's a very regressive tax. I don't know that there is a more regressive tax than what a toll tax is. And it's these people who I find time and time again feel like they are not empowered to do anything. And I said, well, you're never going to do anything. You just sit there. you gotta speak up. You gotta make a phone call. You gotta go to a meeting, and you gotta work with others. United we stand. I mean, it really is up to us to hold these people in check. They're not going to do it on their own. It's the nature of the beast, if you will.
You got to be willing to say, I don't like toll roads. and make sure you say it every time the topic comes up, every time the discussion comes around. Make sure the people around you know you do not like toll roads.
And I'm telling everybody for everybody who's out there listening or will listen to this through the archives, because we have a lot of people who listen to it in the archives, please pick up the phone and call every single one of your state representatives, call your county commission, call your city council, call the State Department of DOT, fax them, be the biggest, I'll say PIA to be polite, to these people, because if you don't speak up, they're going to just act like you don't exist. Because you don't.
Okay. Oh, I got, did you get an email from a Robert, that's right, Ernie Bain, chairman of the No Tolls I-95 Coalition?
No, I had Alan Purser, I think, may have mentioned his name to me. Alan Purser, he's with the chamber, I think.
Okay, I don't know. Alan Purser, Roanoke Valley Chamber of Commerce, said call Ernie Bain, the number No Tolls I-95 Coalition.
Yes, and I will definitely I'll definitely contact them. I don't think I have really enough time to try and get him in on this show, even though I think I may have. I posted things on their Facebook page to let people know about the show and let people get engaged in the discussion. But, yeah, I've got to get him on the show, and if I can get, if you have happened to speak to him, please let him know. We need him out there. We know the momentum. We know the people. We know what the people want. Now we just have to do the part that gets the people engaged to say enough is enough. And this is true nationwide.
I was looking through, you sent this to Representative Charles Graham here in here in North Carolina?
Correct. I saw someplace when I was doing my research out there, he was complaining about the tolls as well. And I thought, well, maybe if he's available, he might want to call in, or if you had spoke to him about this or whatever, maybe there would be, you know, some coalition between you guys to work together to obviously get people engaged and to reverse the I-77 toll and to stop anything with the I-95 tolls as well.
He stood up on the floor of the House and said that he would oppose any tolls on I-95 because that would cost too much for him to ride on the road, and it would mean he had to take secondary roads, which would be a longer drive, and that would cost him more too, so he didn't want any toll roads, period, because there was nothing good would come. Basically, he said that he indicated there's nothing good come out of them. And I was looking at his quote here: a toll is a toll, economically painful, based on how much our citizens use I-95 for access to medical services, get to work, personal driving needs, making them to pay tolls to use interstate would be asking too much of our citizens.
The absolute truth.
He pretty much put everything in perspective, didn't he? I was looking at the things I have here. This one's talking about light traffic volume on toll roads. Leading financial rating service has downgraded the credit rating of the company that built and operates Central Texas Toll Road because of the light traffic.
Yeah, people can't afford it, and people oppose it. It's a combination of both. I mean, would I be able to afford the tolls here in Central Florida? I would probably be able to survive them, but it's taken out of my disposable income, and it's an unfair tax. So I refuse to use them, and some people kind of get a joke because I'll drive up to North Florida, whatever, excuse me, and I will not get on the local toll roads. I won't get on that turnpike. Here in the state of Florida, the Florida Turnpike was built back in 57, and the tolls were only supposed to be there for 10 years. They still haven't removed them. You know, it's... Go ahead.
This statement comes from Moody's Investor Services. They're the ones who downgraded the bond rating for the Central Texas Toll Road, and they refuse to issue bonds on the I-77 toll unless it's backed by the state. And their reasoning, was
the traffic
presentation out there. And they said if the economy dips, the tolls do not pay the bills.
They do not pay the bills, and it's the taxpayer who's left holding the bag for what they're not allowed to use.
And too, you sent me this thing on from Dwight D. Eisenhower about our highway system.
Correct. That was a 40-year report, and in that particular report, for every $1 of investment we put into infrastructure, it has given, in that particular report, it said $6 plus dollars of prosperity. It's an excellent investment in the infrastructure. To use the infrastructure to rip off people is just disgusting.
He lists, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 things. It's enriched the quality of life for every American. Now, this is a free highway system. Have saved the lives of at least 187,000 people. Now, this is Dwight Eisenhower, so that's a long time ago. It has prevented injuries to nearly 12 million people, returned more than $6 in economic productivity for each $1 it cost, positioned the nation for improved international competitiveness, and if you're charging tolls, you do reduce our competitiveness because of the transportation cost. It's permitted the cherished freedom of personal mobility to flourish and has enhanced international security.
The interstate highway, it's noted, it truly is treated as the best investment we ever made, as this nation ever made, and I totally believe that's true. I really do, and yet they keep wanting to hose it up and mess up what should be the... it's a lifeline to our economy. It's a lifeline to a quality of life. Outrageous when they want to abuse it.
Well, they refer to it as the workhorse of the nation's highway system, our interstate system. Yep.
And I even challenge, I mean, just in your case or anybody out there, you know, imagine what would happen if you did not have the interstate highway system out there.
Yeah, now, you know, we've talked about tolls. Have you discussed any going to rail services?
Well, here in Florida, we fought the high-speed boondoggle, as we call it. And the same thing, this scam rail, it's called Sunrail, but I call it scam rail because it goes from basically Daytona down to Disney. And it's at, we actually have to give tracks. We pay for the tracks for CSX while we pay and lease them. It's nothing but a... gravy train, if you will, for CSX, because the deal they have done will, we will truly be, the Florida taxpayers are liable for any accident, even if it's a freight accident, on CSX tracks. And the fact is, rail will never work here. I mean, they would have to spend so many billions of dollars in rail that you could never justify the expense. The other thing is, we can't have a subway system because of the surface here. And we need the bus system. I have no problem with mass transit. The bus system is what we could do very effectively.
A rail system takes people off the highway, so it reduces your gas tax, which generally supports transportation.
Right.
So that hurts. And if you go back and if you review worldwide, there is no rail system in existence that supports itself.
Amtrak's been the biggest example of that.
It's what?
Amtrak has been one of the biggest boondoggles there's been. And that's even up, you know, even in the corridors where they really have a lot of people going back and forth up in the D.C. and New York area and whatever, some of those places where they use it more, it's limited because of the weather, and it's still a massive, massive drain on tax revenues. It's crazy, and yet it was, and just so you know, I have to put this out there, it was a Republican who was the chair of the Transportation Committee up in Washington, D.C., by the name of John Mica, who insisted on doing this, but we know it's all because he's friends with CSX. It's not, he didn't do it for the people. And I've said all along, it's like, well, you know what? If you're somebody here in Central Florida, if you live in Daytona Beach and you want to work at Walt Disney World, don't blame me for your commute. I should not pay for your commute via a train, which is, that's what their excuse is, that this is going to somehow relieve traffic, and it's not. And I told, it's not going to save time. Because there's no bus system here. Now they're talking about how many millions left to spend to get the bus system so that you can even get to the train. And it's using the existing tracks, it's going to block 60 intersections in Orange County alone during rush hour as it goes back and forth. It's not. This is all about doing for your friends and not doing for the people. It's and in the case of John Mica, his daughter happens to. Have been the recipient of a $13 million earmark in the past. How convenient and cozy is that?
And you compare that cost of rail systems to that, the study says that various estimates have been made of the contributions of interstate highway systems to the economy, generally finding that the interstate highway system has more than paid for itself and improved commercial productivity.
Exactly.
And then we go back and spend money on hot lanes, which costs everybody money, drives up the cost of actually, drives up the cost of living, drives up the cost of everybody's life, and it does not. The argument here for the hot lanes in I-77 is that people have a choice and they have more options. If you don't have the money, you don't have the choice. And I don't know why it's so hard for folks to get that through their head. And in this economy, most people don't have the money.
They don't. It's pure Lexus lanes. And, you know, the other piece of this, because these hot lanes, Lexus lanes, are always towards the center of the road, and because they promote letting people drive faster in them, I have no doubt you're going to have more severe accidents and you're going to have more deaths in those toll lanes too. I believe they will be a negative when it comes to accidents as well. But it's the wrong thing to do.
Well, you know, that brings up a good point. If I'm reading the proposals for the hot lanes, toll lanes in I-77, they will be driving faster, and there is no divider between the lanes.
Right.
So if one of them is speeding and happen to doze or veer or anything, yes, they're going to hit the slower moving traffic.
It's going to be much more severe, much more massive.
Right.
It's wrong. I can't come up with a good reason for doing this. It's nothing but political games for whoever they are trying to give their bennies to. And like you said, to act like we're doing something now, but we're sticking it to the next generation, and they're sticking it to those right now because they can't use the roads yet they help pay for them. It's wrong in every way, and there's got to be a way to engage the people who adamantly oppose it. And I mean, in the past, and I guess I'll bring up another thing because I know you and I talked about this before, is where is the media? Because if the media was out there, you could rally the troops. Because everybody is mad about it, but most people think they are absolutely stuck. They think they are powerless to do anything about it, and the media takes off running and totally ignores it.
Well, the media here in this area was very quiet until I came out against it, and the media has been very supportive of me. I was surprised. It looks like two people in the media have lost their jobs because some of the politicians supporting the toll lanes on the TV station and the radio station, and they didn't like the reporters coming out in reporting on someone opposing the toll roads. But it seems that the media, and again I go back, the government goes to those who show up, the media seems to too. The reason they weren't reporting any opposition was because everybody was being quiet. And I was, I confess, I was slow on this. I didn't do all of my homework that I should have, because when I first came to Raleigh in January, it was the first time I heard about them putting toll roads on I-77. So I had a meeting with the Department of Transportation and some other members of the General Assembly. And I came out of that meeting feeling like it was toll roads or nothing. We've got a problem in our area. Our area has been one of the fastest growing areas in the United States around Charlotte and up I-77. And yeah, well, we've got 20,000 people living on an 8-mile long dead end road. So that's how it's grown. Where I remember driving out that road as a youngster and going swimming at the end of it, and you actually didn't even have to wear a bathing suit because there wasn't anybody around. So it's changed quite a bit since then.
The true image of maybe RFD, huh?
but with all those folks around, you know, we were basically told, I came away from that meeting with the understanding that, you know, it's toll roads or nothing. And then I started doing some research. And I got this letter was actually, the letter I was reading a while ago was actually written to me on January the 8th after my meeting. And it explains three alternatives. And all three alternatives, alternative one is hot lanes in each direction. Alternative two is two hot lanes in each direction. And alternative three is conversion of existing southbound HOV lanes to hot lanes and adding one hot lane. And, you know, that's pretty much what was presented as being the answer. Nobody said anything about this study that was done in 2009 and cost less than 20% of what the hot lane's going to cost.
And what part of that does a Republican not like? Again, we go back and see the motive.
It does bother me considerably that Republicans are in charge in the General Assembly right now. And here we are buying this toll road stuff when for 20% we can solve the problem, get a 50% increased capacity, and not have to worry about the capacity of the highway based on projected population growth for 20 to 25 years. It doesn't make sense.
No new taxes. That should be what they would rally around. Look, we're going to do this with the existing funds because we're going to manage your money properly, and we're not going to increase your taxes. It seems like a no-brainer.
North Carolina is divided into districts and regions for transportation purposes, trying to distribute the money to and be fair to everybody. And we've just changed the formula, which means that the metropolitan area around Mecklenburg County will be getting more funds to do things they need to address the population growth with. And those additional funds, at this point would be enough to take care of these issues.
Exactly. This is truly such a no-brainer if people if those in public office were there to work on behalf of the people and not playing all these other games. It is a no-brainer, and it would be a shoo-in for their election. They would really be helping their campaign if they actually started working on the best interest of the people instead of the others. They wouldn't have to worry about raising so much money if they actually did the work for the people like they're supposed to, instead of playing all these political games.
Sally, I hate to be repetitious, but it just, I simply do not understand some of my friends in political office that say, I oppose toll roads, but I support hot lanes.
And I mean, do you ask them? Can you say that with a straight face? You oppose taxes, but you are going to raise them anyway. Yeah, that makes no sense. The hypocrisy of the state.
You're not familiar with what's going on with me here in North Carolina, then?
No.
I was one of the chairs of the Finance Committee in the House.
Oh, I do know you resigned, so go ahead and share that with us.
I didn't exactly resign.
Oh.
when the speaker said, I oppose toll roads, but those are hot lanes. And I said, Mr. Speaker, you can call them toll roads, you can call them hot lanes, privileged lanes, Lexus lanes, whatever you want to, they're toll roads. And he said, that's it, I want your gavel, you're no longer my chair of finance. And I said, okay.
That's terrible. And this is the Republican Party doing this to you.
Well, I didn't look on it as a party doing it. If I did that, it would hurt my feelings.
Oh, that's terrible. That is.
At this point, I do feel like that was the toll road champion doing that to me.
Yes, so the person. Yeah, this is the same person who said to the ATA, the American Trucking Association, that they weren't going to put toll roads in North Carolina, right? And that's his toll roads versus toll lanes. I hope the American Trucking Association will call this person and tell them the difference, give them a lesson on what a toll road is.
I would think that would be appropriate. Yes.
Just one other thing that I found as I was going out there, guy's name is Mickey Gregory, Executive Director of the Lumberton Visitors Bureau, contends that reducing the amount of tolls North Carolina residents pay to use the interstates is not going to change the minds of businesses and others who see tolls as an extra burden on those who already do business and reside in one of the state's most economically depressed counties. They're opposing the tolls, too. You've got these visitors bureaus out there that are opposing the tolls, too. There's people across that state that are opposing it. There's got to be a way to get those people to speak up.
Well, they're telling you they oppose it? Because I need to get in touch with some of these folks and tell them they're going to have to be more vocal if they want to get these things stopped.
Yeah, it says even the reduced cost of tolls would still be expensive for those struggling under bad economic conditions, Gregory said. It would not just be our business that suffers, but also students who use the interstates to get to school and others who use it to get to work. And then there's a link here to opposition lining up to the I-95 tolling.
Okay, he's in the same area. Okay, he's saying the same thing as Charles Graham, Representative Graham, who is from that area.
Right. Right. And, you know, it's easy to go and say, well, we live by I-95, so we're fighting the tolls there. But it's all interrelated. It's an interstate, and it's all dependent on each other. So you can't go and say, well, we're not going to put tolls on I-95 and put them on the others. You can't put the tolls on any of them. You've got to fight the whole process.
That has been my argument, and I was very much surprised when in the debate, and this is archived, so anyone can go back and check the comments if they want to. In the debate, two legislators that live along the I-95 corridor stood up and said, as long as they don't toll I-95, I don't care. And that was a bill we were debating where if they'd have put the amendment that was sent up, if we'd have voted for the amendment that was sent up, we would have stopped the toll roads in North Carolina. But they said as long as they voted against our amendment because they said as long as he didn't toll I-95, they didn't care.
And, you know, these are the kind of people I would like to meet face to face and say, how can you say something so stupid? How can you be that selfish? And how can you be that narrow-minded and not understand that it's all related? Not like
well, the people that are fighting the tolls the hardest say that they found in one of the bills, and our wording, I've always taken pride in being able to understand the bills, but our wording this year has really been creative. They say that the way one of the bills is written, it approves tolling I-95 after they finish with I-77. I don't read it that way, but that's some folks that are, I accept as being pretty smart are debating that with me right now.
Well, I'll tell you, I thought there was something out there, and I don't know what bill it was, but something as I was doing the research on North Carolina stuff for the show, I thought someplace it was giving DOT, North Carolina DOT, the power to put those toll taxes out there, and that was how they were going to maybe backdoor it in.
That was the bill I was trying to put an amendment on to stop toll roads and take it away from DOT.
Okay, because DOT should
That bill did pass. DOT does determine what roads will be tolled.
And see, a non-elected body should never have the right to assess taxes.
I don't think so.
And that's what happens.
And that is, this guy who's working on a lawsuit, that will probably be part of the lawsuit, that one of the things the Constitution does not allow is us to abdicate our authority to collect taxes. I think
that's
the right word.
Exactly. Can't delegate your authority. That's right.
Cannot delegate our authority to anyone else. So
this individual who's going to do the lawsuit, if you would please, give him my contact information, my email address, and tell him I would really like for him to come on the show and talk about it. We've got to get the people in North Carolina engaged in this conversation to stop it before it gets any worse. It's so out of control here in Florida. And here in Florida, I tell people, you know, we say, well, it's already there. It's already a done deal. You don't have to keep bad policy. We do. This is our state. We have rights. And we're use them or lose them, you know.
That's right. And people need to recognize that.
Exactly. So we've got to do something about it. And they're killing us here in Florida. Florida is not a high-income area. Do you truly think the average person working at Disney and in the hotel and travel industry are making a lot of money? But it's a service industry. It's not what you call the big bucks. You know, it's regressive. And they hurt the local economy.
We tell all our children if they want to be rich, move to Florida.
Build a toll road, right? You told them to do that too, huh? the part that I have found funny when it comes to the public-private partnership stuff, you know, it's amazing how many public-private partnerships, how they want to buy up and own the highways, but none of them want to buy up and own the rail transit that they keep trying to shove down our throats as well. And people say it all the time here, and I mean, when I first started studying the thing with the transportation and the rail, it's like the mentality of the person is, well, they get high-speed rail or light rail in there, and then everybody else is going to get off the roads, and I'll be able to drive. That was the mentality of it. And here in Florida, I mean, right now, it would take me longer to get to the train than it is for me to drive to where I'm going, not to mention the fact that I'd have to stand out in the rain and probably get mugged at the station and whatever else. And the other nonsense here in Florida is they act like the trains are going to help the elderly people. I said, well, who's going to help the elderly people get on and off the train? And who's going to keep them from getting mugged right there while they're standing waiting for the train?
Mm-hmm.
It's so outrageous. It's such reckless disregard for the welfare of the people and the economy and the quality of life. And I'll tell you, you know, the one other thing I have got to mention out there, and I'm telling you, for anybody, when you're listening to this, if you are a member of AAA, you go out there and you read their mission statement. Part of their mission statement is to provide safe, economical access to the highways. That is part of their mission statement. AAA is virtually silent on the toll road issue. And here in Florida, their national headquarters is right on I-4. by Lake Mary, you literally drive past our national headquarters, and they are silent on the toll roads. You know, the NRA is out there fighting for our rights on the guns, and, well, we saw what happened with AARP when they surrendered our rights on the Obamacare stuff. But AAA is absolutely silent, and if you are a member, AAA has somewhere to the tune of 50 million members nationwide. If AAA would engage that 50 million people, can you imagine what would happen? The AAA sits there silently with nothing. So I tell anybody who's a member, go out there, and I post it on their website. I post stuff out there. But contact your AAA, contact the National Headquarters Advocacy Group, and tell them you want them to start being an advocate for the motorists like they're supposed to be, instead of just being a giant insurance company, which is kind of what they've turned out to be.
The AAA has gotten an awful, seems to be awfully profit motivated now.
Exactly, and I'm saying, well, their status, because they are considered an association, I think their status, let's call the IRS, since they go out there hounding people. Why don't you go check into what the definition of an association is with AAA, because they're really more of an insurance carrier than they are in a true association, member association. And I think anybody who's a member of AAA should be calling and complaining to them, because they should be advocating on behalf of their members, and they don't.
So I just found a letter from a citizen back in, well, right beside of the, near the toll lanes, if I might read it. She says, "I'm a mother in Mecklenburg County. I plead with you to consider the ramifications of allowing private toll operators to come into our state and take money from our residents and burden our state with billions of dollars in contracts that last for decades, five decades in fact. In Georgia, elected officials have said that their toll projects have been their state's biggest policy failure in recent history. I talk with people of all walks of life due to my involvement in both politics, church and school, the neighborhood, my town, Charlotte residents, and I can't find anyone who wants a toll or who will support a leader who supports a toll. If you don't believe me about how unpopular tolls are, just look at Georgia's problem. Here's a quick read," and she goes to WSBTV.com news in Georgia, and I pulled it up, and man, it's... I typed in toll lanes, and it is drivers, state looking at hot lanes, drivers fight back, governor lowers toll rates, more drivers complaints, more people using hot lanes and complaining about it, drivers petition against proposed hot lanes in Georgia, groups join forces against the hot lanes, lawmakers want to nix hot lanes as they reach record-breaking prices. All of this is in Georgia.
In Georgia, there was there's this one toll road. They were supposed to be sunsetting the tolls, and they were going to try and extend it. And I think that one finally did get blocked because of the outrage against it. And there was a group, and I actually met with a group one time up there called Stolen Lanes. And that, I mean, I thought that was a perfect name, because this is Stolen Lanes. This is public infrastructure being sold off to foreign entities and private entities. It truly is highway robbery in every which way you want to look at it. But they have the people in Georgia have made a difference, and that's why I say you can make a difference. People, they just got to they got to rally behind you and the others who are against it and say, stop it. It's enough is enough. We can't afford it.
Right.
Stop wasting money on other nonsense. And look at the current. Even if you took the current revenues, which, I assume North Carolina has some type of a tourist tax.
Not statewide.
Okay. Well, Florida obviously does. Yeah.
And we have increased the sales tax in some counties and allow them to use it for tourists. The counties increased the sales tax to be used for tourist operations and promotions. But there's no tax, tourist tax as such.
Okay. It's been a little while since I was actually staying up in Rocky Mount, and at that time I had an extended stay, so those, typically they change the rules on some of those anyway. But here we have a resort tax on every hotel room and this other stuff, and then they have a special car rental tax that's out there. These are two things that definitely impact transportation. The better the experience would be if it was better. It could easily take a couple percentages off of those two taxes right there, and they would have a very good fund, a revenue stream. And, of course, stop diverting highway taxes into everything else. You know, stop taking the highway trust fund. I mean, it's my favorite saying is never trust a trust fund, because they rob them blind every which way they can. And the other is on a tourist tax. Is it appropriate? I mean, when it comes down to doing what the people need, here in Orlando, they went and took tourist tax dollars, tore down the Orlando Arena that was already there, that they already still own it.
Sally?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you. Can you hear me?
I didn't. Okay. I thought we'd been cut off again, and I did get the noise. Evidently, my phone's not used to talking this long. It because I got that same noise I had a while ago, right before it cut off. So.
Oh. Okay. Well, we've only got about 10-15 minutes left here, so this has been an excellent discussion. And what I was saying was, in Orlando. Here we haven't even paid off the Orlando Arena to begin with. They're tearing that down. They're building this new one. This is also that the Orlando Magic can win a game. Wait a minute. They couldn't win a game in the other stadium. That, yet you're telling me you don't have money for the highways and these kind of things, and this comes out of the tourist tax. Why are you using a tourist tax for a stadium, especially here in Orlando? We actually had private investors who were going to build a stadium out by International Drive, not in downtown Orlando, but they weren't going to do it if the city was going to do it. So this is the recklessness of how people use our money. It's just despicable to me. It really is.
I don't know what to say. Toll roads are just, in my opinion, a mistake. A mistake in planning, a mistake on everybody's part except the investors in the toll roads themselves. And for them,
exactly.
They come out ahead.
Well, since we are getting down to about 10-12 minutes here, what would you like to say to the people in North Carolina as we're kind of wrapping up here, the most important thing, how they can contact you, whatever that you want them to do to help you stop this?
If you're living in North Carolina and you don't want a toll road in your neighborhood, because if they go on I-77, they're going to come towards you too, you need to contact your representative. It's www.ncleg.net. will take you to the General Assembly page. You can look up the General Assembly website. You can look up your representative. Get in touch with your representative and tell them to stop the toll roads in North Carolina. And they need to do it now. And don't let them tell you it can't be done. It's already in place. Because any session of the General Assembly under the Constitution cannot commit the next session of the General Assembly. And every bill we pass changes something that the General Assembly has done in the past. So we can change direction things are going, and we can put a stop to toll roads if you'll just get in touch with your representative and create the will in this state to stop the toll roads. We need your help.
And when it comes to the alternatives, first off, you already have the revenue out there. You've already proven the revenue, the funds are already there.
In I-77's case, if they got $170 million to put up for toll roads, then I've already had there's a consultant did a study in 2009, said it could be done for less than $67 million, and I talked to a road contractor the other day, and he said the 14 miles one lane going each way, increasing capacity by 50% could easily be done for the $67 million. And that's a lot less than the $170 million they're going to put into the toll road.
Exactly. So, you know, when they try and tell you that there's no money for it, that's wrong. This is the answer. The money is right there. And the other alternative, if you truly had to raise the money, if it really was that situation, the option of, even if, for the sake of this discussion, if on every vehicle, every personal automobile, we won't get into the trucks and stuff, because that's whole, I mean, when you talk about registration fees and stuff, you really got to break down into what you charge for the trucks and stuff like that. But even if you charged, let's say, $50 more on every registered vehicle, that by itself would take care of I-95 and I-76.
That would clear up, that would do $500 million worth of our transportation needs.
And compare that to spending $100 a month.
Compare $50 once a year for your tag registration to paying $100 to $200 a month. $50 once a year for tag registration. Once a year, $50 compared to $100 to $200 a month to drive to and from work on a toll road.
Plus,
it's not a tough decision.
It's really not. The math is so simple, not to mention the fact your cost of living would go up in addition to the with the tolls. There is one other thing real quick that I hadn't mentioned, and I meant to do this earlier. Because, in my conversations with people here in Florida, you know, we have a lot of landscaping companies. We have plumbers, electricians. These are all people who travel across town. Here in Florida, you don't, with the exception of I-4, once they finally get their Lexus loan, which I really want to talk to the guy about the lawsuit because it's unconstitutional here in Florida too. For them to travel across town, some of these landscaping companies were literally paying $1,400 a month in toll taxes because of the trailers, and it was that much more expensive. And the automatic systems hose up their stuff and suspend their licenses, do all sorts of crazy things. But it really is a very big harm, a burden to small businesses. And I don't know how much you've actually checked or talked to some of the smaller businesses on that kind of stuff, too.
Sally?
Yes.
You disappeared on
me.
Okay. Yeah, I didn't hear the last sentence.
Well, the last sentence was in reference to the smaller businesses, because this is a big, you know, an electrician or a plumber, and again, the landscaping companies, if they're trying to go across town. Now, with it being Lexus lanes, it's a little bit different in this situation, but if they were trying to get across town to get to the business and to make money and get their faster routine, how much of a burden, or have you had a chance to talk to the smaller businesses too on that stuff? I know some of the smaller businesses on the ramps said people aren't going to get off the highway and stop and get something to eat, so they're going to lose business that way. But there's the small businesses that use the roads.
The toll road will hurt the, I believe, ancillary businesses along the highway or the complementary businesses, the highway businesses along the route itself, because they can't get on and off the toll road to stop and eat, fill up a gas, or do things like that. And, yes, the small business people, even especially those who have to use the toll road itself, are very much opposed to toll roads because they just don't see anything really good coming out of it. The retail merchants along the route get to watch them go by faster now.
Exactly. It's a negative in so many ways. And I'll tell you, if somebody can explain to me how either side of the aisle, how a Republican could act like this is pro-business and pro-taxpayer, I don't understand. And how a Democrat can think this is pro-the middle class and the lower income, the working class, if you will, I don't see how either side can promote this and act like they truly believe in any kind of principles or whatever they claim it is they believe in these days. And in my own case, like Nathan, I did used to be a Republican, and I left the Republican Party because I just don't see there's no conservative values in it. They're fiscally reckless, and I've had to leave it, and I go back to George Washington. I challenge anybody out there, if George Washington warned us about political parties.
Since all of my family was Democrat when I registered Republican, I'd have to I have to tell you what I considered a problem in the Republican Party is all the Democrats that switched over.
Well, it truly has become one big melting pot. I'm telling you, when you go and look at
it has.
It truly has. John McCain's a perfect example of that. But anyway, well, we are just down to a couple minutes left here. This has been an excellent discussion. I very much appreciate you taking the time to do this. And please keep up the fight. Please share my name and contact for those who want to come on and talk about this issue. I will do whatever I can to help North Carolina. We have to make this a national coalition, really, because the interstates go across this whole countryside. It's the arteries and the lifeline to this whole economy. And I just challenge...
Is that comment from Dwight Eisenhower's report said, our interstate system is the workhorse of America, and it has brought us a lot of the prosperity we have, and we need to keep it toll-free.
Exactly.
Not tax.
That's exactly it. We need to respect it for what it has done and what it does for us and stop trying to abuse the people and just score brownie points out there for whatever they're trying to do on the political thing, which to me is backwards too. So anyway, again, thank you so much. We've got a couple minutes left. One last shot for anything you want to say to the people of North Carolina or anything else.
I appreciate your interest. Keep driving and see if we can't get people to turn out and pull together, and let's do put a stop to toll lane. Thank you very much, Sally.
Thank you, Representative Roberts Brawley. And everybody else, please get engaged. Please remember, it's being an American, being a citizen of a free society is not a spectator sport. You must be engaged. These people work for you, but if you're going to just give them a blank check, then you're going to get, you literally get what you reap here, because if you give them a blank check, they're going to spend it whatever way they want to. So please get involved. That's what being an American is all about. This is our country, and it is your state. Please take ownership of it. That's the right thing to do. It's the right thing to do for yourself. It's the right thing to do for your family. It's the right thing to do for our country. Be Americans. Freedom of speech. Use it or lose it. It's your same for your powers when it comes time to contacting these representatives. If you refuse to use the rights you have, you will lose them, and you will have no control. And on that note, may God bless and protect the United States of America. Good night, everyone, and thank you again, Representative Brawley.
Thank you. Thank you for your work. Good night.